I really think that is one of the more important questions we could ever really consider in our lives. Are you saved? And may I ask personally, everyone in this room, are you going to heaven? Because no matter whatever we face in life, no matter whatever hardship or difficulty or whatever, when we always have that confidence, I'm going to heaven, we can still smile, even in times where we shed tears. It's really important to think about that as Christians, because I have found various extremes that people have in regard to, am I going to heaven? There are some who live in constant fear that after they have become children of God, wondering whether or not they go to heaven. And sometimes that's from the idea of what we have termed, I heard it first back in preaching school years ago, yo-yo grace. And it's the idea that every time you commit one sin, you fall out of grace. And then when you repent of that sin, you go back into God's grace, in and out of grace continually, however 10, 15, 20, many times a day, however often you sin, basically. That's yo-yo grace. And I don't believe the Bible teaches the concept of yo-yo grace, particularly from our text that we considered last week and that we're going to consider again today. But at the other extreme, though, here's something else I want you to consider. There are some who also say that you can never be lost once you become saved. And the Bible doesn't teach that either. I've heard so many people say you cannot fall from grace, for instance, when the Bible specifically says in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4, you can fall from grace. The Bible specifically teaches in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 22, that if you escape the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, well, that's a picture, that's a description of being saved. You've escaped it through the knowledge of Christ, but you go back into the world when it says you're again therein entangled and overcome. The Bible says the latter end is worse for you than the beginning. Do you hear that? If at the beginning you're lost, and then it says the latter end is worse for you than the beginning, that means as a Christian, you can walk back out into the world and lose your soul. And the Bible gives numerous examples of this. I mean, we read Hebrews chapter 6. Those who were once enlightened, they walk away. Some people never come back. And so the idea of it's impossible to lose your salvation, actually, in some ways, both extremes actually are very unhealthy. And number one, that's not what the Bible teaches. But number two, for instance, once you're saved, always saved, it actually says, well, it doesn't matter if I sin or not. It's basically who cares how you live, because you know I can't be ever lost again. And you can literally go back and live a heathen life, basically. And that, you know, some people literally believe that and live by that. And again, that's not biblical. So last week we considered, though, the concept of, walking in the light and walking in darkness. Look at the text. It says, if we say we have fellowship with Him, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from our sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. So last week we considered the concept of what does it mean to walk in darkness. And in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, walking in darkness carries the concept of what's in the world? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And if we live towards those things are more important to God. We love those things more than God. There's a sense, yeah, we're walking in darkness. But here's what I want to do this morning. What does it mean to walk in the light? What does it mean to walk in the light? From this text, I want to give you three things. Number one, to walk in the light, first off, if you're in 1 John chapter 1, hopefully your Bible's open there, go back and look at verse 5. The very first thing we learn about God is the Bible says, God is light. Okay, and watch this. And in Him there is no darkness. You got that? God is light. Now, you're thinking, what exactly does that mean? Well, in the Bible, darkness represents sin. It represents evil. Look at John 3, 19 through 21. And so in contrast, light represents that which is not sin, that which is good, that which is pure, that which is holy, that which is, here we go, if God is light and we want to walk in the light, here's something we need to understand. God is the standard of right and wrong, practically speaking. God is the standard of right and wrong. I don't know about you, but we live in a time where I don't think we completely understand the concept of darkness. And what I mean by that, I mean actual physical darkness. Why? Because we have electricity. Even at night, the street lights are on, right? Even at night, your car lights are on. Even at night, you can flip on a light switch in the house. But extreme darkness where you can't even see your hand in front of your face, that's dark. That's dark. And imagine trying to just go about your everyday life with zero light. I mean, imagine trying to cook something or find the right pair of shoes or find, you know, the right change of clothes. How do you do that without any light? You remember you heard of the saying, you know, you wake up in the middle of the night, you go to the bathroom and you step on one of the kids' Legos in the hallway, right? You know, that's all the time. That's all the time. Pain and mistakes. How do you take the right medicine? How do you... You don't live. Life is not possible without light. Light helps us get home. Light helps us see what we need to do. You understand that? God is the light in the sense of... Think about it this way. Just as if there was no actual physical light, as you would try to feel your way around in search of a light or feel your way around in trying to live light, that's what life is like when we basically dismiss God and we dismiss the Word of God as for a sense of morals. You realize, I mean, that's what historically man has done. And I like history, and if you like history, you understand it. You know the concept of people who rebel against God. They go to philosophy. They go to various ideas. And it's almost as if they try to experiment and figure out what's right and wrong. And in the end, guess what happens? It's one bad... History is just one bad experiment after another. It really is. Without God. I mean, even today, we have people who say things like, well, you know, men and women are no different. And though this was years ago, women can do anything men can, and vice versa, basically. And, you know, no, God made us different. In marriage, God made roles and responsibilities for men and women different. In the home, God made things different between men and women. God created us male and female. Now we're living in a time where we're no longer in the sense of women can do anything a man could do. Now there's really no such thing as men and women. We're living in a time now that says the family's not important. Who cares about the family? We're living in a time now where people want government to become their God. And I'm here to tell you something. This is no different if we study history from the past. It's just one big experiment that eventually is going to show we're feeling around in darkness, trying to make sense of things, when all we need to do is turn on the light, and we'll be able to see clearly. God is the standard of right and wrong. Let me tell you something else, though. If God is the light, here's the second thing. Jesus here is also the sinless Son of God. All right? Now, this point here really goes to our next point. But let me mention something to you. We all have known people in our life And in getting to know them, we go, man, they're a great person. We've all done that. We've all done that to teachers. Maybe sometimes a guy or girl dating one another, they kind of think that, you know, she can do no wrong, he can do no wrong, and give it 6 months. You'll see their flaws, right? Maybe it's some kind of world leader or some kind of celebrity. The point is, we all at some point of our life have experienced the idea of putting someone on a pedestal where they don't belong, holding them and thinking that they have no wrong in their life as if they're perfect. And then all of a sudden, the more we get to know them, the more we put them and we hold them to that standard of almost perfection. And then we get to know them more and more, and then we find out they have flaws in their life, and then all of a sudden we don't like them. Maybe the problem was as our standards in the very first place. Because the truth is, everyone has flaws in their life. Everyone sins. You understand that? Even Solomon acknowledged this, that there is no one who does not sin. 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 46. And you look here in the text, in 1 John chapter 1, the Bible says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Well, what's the point? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. And the point is anytime we ever try to hold someone or because of maybe a good impression, we think they're perfect, we're always going to be let down by men. We're always going to be disappointed because everybody sins and everybody falls short of God's glory. It doesn't matter who it is. Okay? Except Jesus Christ. Except Jesus Christ. Because I can assure you, you can hold him up to that pedestal or that standard, and then the more you study his life, the more you get to know Jesus, you're going to find out that's the only man who can stand on that level. That's the only person who ultimately deserves such recognition, the sinless Son of God. The man who knew no sin but became a sin sacrifice, practically speaking, for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. And so when we think of God being the light, what I want you to remember is Jesus is ultimately that light, practically speaking. Jesus is the one who knew no sin, who literally never sinned. And if you think about that, that's a remarkable thing in and of itself. And as a result of that, because Jesus is the light, he is the standard of right and wrong, he is also sinless and showing the light because there's no darkness in Christ. Walking in the light, secondly, means we seek guidance from the light. You understand that? Look at verse 7 here. Notice verse 7 again. If we walk in the light as he is in the light. You got that? Look at it. If we walk in the light or in the footsteps of Jesus, he is in the light. If we follow him, in other words, practically speaking here, this verse is saying to walk in the light is to recognize God as light, but also to seek guidance from the light in our everyday life. I remember hearing a story told by Matthew Kelly. He told of a wealthy business man who decided to host a dinner for all of his employees and in hopes to maybe improving the company and getting them to continue in a right direction. And so it was the day of the dinner, and he was typing up his speech he would give to his workers. And after a few minutes of typing up his speech, his wife comes in and says, I have to run some errands. It's kind of an emergency. I need you to keep an eye on our 7-year-old son. And he says, sure, okay, that's fine, come on in. So not a few minutes later, his 7-year-old son comes in and he says, Dad, I'm really bored. I don't have anything to do. Well, you know that as a parent. Sometimes if you have something to do, that's the perfect time. Kids want to come in and, you know, and that's okay, right? That's okay. So he decided what he would do was he had a map of the world that he had found in a magazine. And it was an actual good-sized fold-out map, I guess, of the world. And he ripped it out of this magazine, and he began to tear it into pieces. He said, I'll give him something to do. This will take it a couple hours. And as he tore it into pieces, he told his son, put this map back together. Well, his son didn't know which country or a map of the world, so he knew it would take a good while. But he was done in 10 minutes. And it amazed him. He said, "What? How did you get done so fast? You know, I'm trying to write a speech here, right? How did you get done? And how did..." He said, "Dad, on the back was a picture of a man." And he said, "All I did was I just flipped it upside down and I put the picture of the man together." He said, "If I knew if I got the man right, I'd get the world right." And that's the point. Church, the idea of walking in the light is guidance from God. And if we really want to get the world right, we need to get the man right, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, in other words, it is knowing Him, okay? Knowing His life, knowing how He lived. And it is also two other things, okay? What Jesus believed and how Jesus lived are the concepts of receiving guidance from the light. Now, this is not specifically Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John when I say guidance from the light of what Jesus believed and how Jesus lived, because we understand the rest of the New Testament, Acts through Revelation, and as well as the Old Testament, is ultimately a book from God, right? Okay? So, when I say we adapt our beliefs and our behavior according to Jesus, it is beyond the gospel, specifically speaking. But when we say that, though, in other words, we have a new way of thinking. We don't think like the world thinks. We seek to think like Jesus thinks. Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, Philippians chapter 2. When we live, we seek to see, how does Jesus want me to live? Or how did Jesus live? That's the concept of guidance from the light. And we walk in the light as He is in the light. That's exactly what we're doing. You know, recently I read about, I heard it on the radio yesterday, and this is one of the most foolish things I've heard this year. There is a man in California who is suing Texas Pete Hot Sauce. Okay? You want to know why? Because it's made in North Carolina, not in Texas. That's why. He says on the bottle it says it's Texas Pete Hot Sauce. So you'd think it'd be made in Texas. Oh, it's not. It's made in North Carolina. And he's claiming false advertisement. You know what? If that's true, we're in a world of hurt, because any grocery store that sells Brussels sprouts, if they're not from Brussels, we might have a case, right? Or if you go to McDonald's today and get French fries, did they really import those things from France? You know? What is this? I'm just going to come out and call it like I think it is. I think this is somebody who's greedy for money and is trying to come up with a way to get rich. That's really what it is. And the reason why I share that story with you is not only do I think it's incredibly foolish, but I want you to evaluate that from a biblical perspective. If I'm going to walk in the light, my beliefs, in other words, should be in harmony with the light, right? And if I'm going to walk in the light, my behavior should be in harmony with the light. No Christian should ever do such a thing that man's trying to do. And hopefully he gets laughed out of court. But who knows in the day and age in which we live? No Christian would ever act like that. Why? Because the motive behind such foolishness is a heart of greed. And we know that that's a sin. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5. And we also know, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, that when it comes to petty lawsuits, notice petty lawsuits, we have no place of that as Christians, right? What are we doing? Our beliefs are according to the light. So as a result of that, our behavior seeks to be according to the light. And hopefully you get that. Guidance from the light. All right, notice the next thing, to walk in the light from the text here, if you're in 1 John chapter 1. And this is the final thing, and that's what I call growth from our errors. Now, I don't want to downplay sin by calling sin an error. Maybe I should have called it growth through sin, okay? But the point is when you think of the idea of walking in the light, God is the light, we recognize that, He is our standard. We seek guidance from the light. We seek His will. We seek to do what we do, our beliefs according to His beliefs, in anything and every aspect of our life, by the way. And so, yet, in spite of that, we still know we sin. So what do I do even after I sin? Well, first, let me ask you a question. Did you sin this week? Last week, did you ever sin? I remember one time there was a lady, there was a preacher that I'd known, a lady had called in and she misunderstood a passage from 1 John chapter 5. And she called in and told the preacher, she said, my husband and I, we haven't sinned in years. And I remember Brother Simon said on the radio, well, you just did. If you haven't sinned in years, you just did. Because the Bible says in verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Did you sin any this week? You know, in order to really adequately answer that question, by the way, did you commit some kind of sin this week or did I commit some kind of sin this week? It requires two things, okay? Number one, it requires an awareness of self. It requires an awareness of self, of our actions, an examination of self, a reflection of self, right? The second thing is, it requires a knowledge of God's Word. Because if we don't really know God's Word, we don't really have an adequate knowledge of the Bible, we're not going to know what's right and wrong. We're not going to know what's sin and not sin. But secondly, if we don't have an awareness of self, we could memorize the Bible front to back and not realize we sin because we don't examine ourselves. We've got to have both of those things to have a recognition or an admittance that we've sinned. And that's the thing that I think John is speaking of here overall. Is if we're going to walk in the light, we're still going to sin, but how do we respond to our sins? We've got to grow. We've got to, you know, think about, you know, examine the things that we should have done, but we didn't do. Did we study our Bible every day this week? I mean, honestly, how often did we go to God in prayer this week? Those are things we should do. We didn't do it. Or maybe not enough. And then there are other things where we should avoid and abstain from, right? But yet we did it anyway. Sometimes that's all we think about as sin is the thou shalt nots. But it's more than that. It's our motives too. Is our heart really right? We noted this last week when we posted something on social media. You know, it's not that we can't ever celebrate and post things on social media or anything like that, but can we honestly come to say, basically, when we post things on social media, is it for attention or is it for, hey, celebrate with me? Is it out of pride or is it... it's a heart question. Was our heart completely pure in everything we said and everything we did this week? What's my point? My point is, you know, sometimes maybe because of carelessness, maybe because we think change is too hard, we can deceive ourselves, as the Bible says. And we think, hey, I'm a good person. And then we're filled with pride. But the truth is, we're sinners. We're sinners. And in some ways, we always, in this life, will get to the point where we're still going to fall short at times of God's glory. But what do we do? What do we do? Well, when I think of growth through sin, we've got to be so careful being guilty of self-deception. By the way, self-deception is the idea of I don't sin or I didn't sin. And here's one of the real problems with that. We still have sin. We're still stained with sin in one sense. But at the same time, though, we never change. Carlos showed me the youth rally coming up in November at Alki Road. I grew up there, by the way. It has been probably 15 years since I've been there. I've been gone for over 22 years now. Now, if you were... One of the things I found going back there, because I wasn't always a good kid, every time I've gone back there, somebody has always come up out of all the people and have said, you know, I remember when you were that... you know, and they always try to bring up the past, basically. You know, you always try to bring up the past, and it's like, you know, hopefully I'm 40 now, I'm not 18. Hopefully I'm a different person. You know, I've grown up a little bit. You know, matured somewhat, hopefully, right? And you know, if somebody still thinks you're the same person you were 20 years ago, and maybe that's their problem. Or maybe they have a point. And what I mean by that is if we ever go through and never really examine ourselves and grow through our sins or grow through our errors, we deceive ourselves. And I have seen that at times. I've seen people, you know, in one sense we think about wisdom, and one of the things we say about wisdom is in order to really become wise, you have to experience things in life. And that's very true. There are things that I don't fully grasp and understand that you have because you've experienced some things in life that I haven't. And in some ways, in some areas of life, you all are probably a lot wiser than I am. If, ready for this? If you sought to examine self and grow from it. Because I've known people all their lives, they've been making the same mistakes, they've been repeating the same sins over and over and over again, and they've never learned from them, and they're not any wiser by never examining self. You got that? In other words, you could be through the ringer in life, but you didn't learn from them, and you didn't respond in a God-approved way, you're not any wiser. And you're not even more mature. That's the thing. Growth through error. There's self-deception. Let me mention one thing to you because time is winding up. You know, the Bible teaches, and if you would just go over to chapter 5 real quickly of 1 John, because I want to tell you something. The Bible talks about a sin in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 16 that is a sin leading to death. Now, I wish I could really dig in the text a little more, but I'm just going to cut straight to the point. You know what the Bible says when it means, and I should have had verse 16, not 1 through 8 up there, what it means, the sin leading to death. A sin leading to death is not a specific sin that you commit and you can never be forgiven of it or anything like that. The sin leading to death is the person, for instance, who continues all their life to be, for instance, let's just, any sin, a compulsive liar. They lie and 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 they never are sorry about lying, and sometimes they lie so much maybe they don't even realize they're lying, and they lie and they lie and they continually tell lies and they continue to lie and they're never sorry for their lie, and they never try to repent of the sin of lying either. That's the sin leading to death. It's not so much lying as it is a refusal to even ever try and repent of sin. That's the sin leading to death. And you can take any sin in your life, by the way. And if you just basically avoid it, ignore it, say it's too hard to change, and never really try to change. See, that's the thing is, you know, there is a sense of walking in the light is still admitting, hey, there still may be a struggle you have with the sin. But what are you doing about it? I am trying to change. And guess what? There may be times where you still may fall short. Most people I know in life struggle with how they carry themselves when they become angry. Some people blow up. Some people are resentful. Some people become bitter. Some people bottle it up. So, you know, there are different sinful responses to anger, basically. And but there's a big difference between saying, yeah, I struggle with anger and I'm working on this and I'm getting better, to the person who just makes no attempt to ever have a right response when they become angry. There's a big difference there. You still may fall short. But guess what? That's walking in the light. Walking in the light is self-examination. It's not self-deception. And it is trying to change and it is growing to overcome sin, to overcome whatever you struggle with is the point. And then finally, go back to the text of 1 John as we close out. It is then seeking forgiveness. If we don't say we have any sin, we deceive ourselves. In other words, examine ourselves. Look in the mirror of God's Word. And then when we see we do wrong, we seek to do something about it. And one of the things we do about it is this. if we confess our sins, the Bible says. Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Church, being saved and remaining in a state of being saved is not getting to the point where you never sin. That will never happen in this life. But being saved, regardless of where you are in your faith, whether you're a new Christian or you've been a Christian for 50 years or 20 years, whatever it is, being saved is walking in the light, and included in walking in the light is growing from our sins and seeking forgiveness. It's going to God in prayer as we examine ourselves and confessing to God, God, I could have handled that better. I shouldn't have said that, Lord. God, I'm sorry, I didn't come to you in prayer as much maybe as I should have today or this week or this month. God, I didn't schedule things as good as I should have. Or God, I didn't handle you fill in the blank in your life, I fill in the blank in my life, but that's the point. It's not the point that we don't sin anymore, it's just what we do with our sin. Are we growing? Are we seeking guidance from Jesus to direct us in every step we take? Do we recognize that God is the light and in Him there really is no darkness? Because I want to tell you that those three things, from the text, we do those things. We don't have to live in fear of whether or not we're going to hell, because we're not. We can have confidence in our salvation. We can say, I am God's child. And if my life were to end today, I'm going to go be with the Lord, which is far better than anything in this life. That's hope. That's walking in the light. You know, if you're here this morning and you are subject to the invitation of Christ, in that you realize, as one who is not yet a Christian, you're not saved. But you want that forgiveness of sins. You want the gift of salvation that Jesus offers to all of us. And if you believe Him to be the Messiah, the Son of God, and you want to turn away from a life of sin, that's repentance. Confess you believe Him to be the Son of God, and we'll baptize you to walk in a newness of life, as Romans 6:3-4 teaches.